You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-fits-all branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's clothing that bolsters your brand identity and creates a unique connection between your brand, your employees, and your customers. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a supplier of branded apparel to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help you and your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action. From logo application to online ordering, Lands' End Outfitters offers seamless solutions that give you peace of mind, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code POD20 for 20% off your first product.
Off the ball.
I was enjoying the heat chat just a second ago. I managed to catch that. It's one of my top five. So that brightened my morning a little bit.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome to Friday's Football Daily. My name is Phil Egan. On the way, Kelleher's the hero as Ireland win at home in the Nations League for the first time in 2 years. We hear from manager Heimir Hallgrímsson as well. Lee Carsley explains his dropping of Harry Kane as England win comfortably in Athens. And Rory Higgins has left Derry City. First up, Kevin Kelleher was the hero for Ireland, who collected a first home win under manager Heimir Hallgrímsson. Evan Ferguson's close-range header just before half-time was enough for Ireland to beat Finland 1-0 at the Aviva. Ireland were lucky to still be level by the time Mikey Johnson crossed for Ferguson, as the Finns had twice struck the woodwork prior to the goal. 13 minutes from time, it looked like Ireland had squandered the 3 points, with a VAR review spotting a Ferguson handball in the penalty area. But Kelleher dived to his right to save from Joel Poyanpalo, securing the win for Ireland, which avoids automatic relegation to League C. Instead, Ireland will have a promotion relegation playoff in the new year, with everyone from Slovakia to Kosovo, Belarus and the Faroe Islands potential opponents. After the game, Nathan caught up with Hallgrímsson.
Hey, Mira, well done. Happy with that?
Yeah, happy with, of course, winning. It's always good, not only the points, but I think psychologically good to have a win. Good to give the fans. I've talked a lot about the fans, how fantastic I've felt them. Just to give them a win here at home is a good feeling. Performance, some good, some bad. And surely we were lucky. They hit the post 2 times and Quivin saved the penalty. I think this group of players deserve luck. They have been not unlucky many times, so probably they deserved a little luck. But yeah, of course, happy with a lot of things. But we are under no illusion that we need to play better than we did today.
You've spoken a few times about having a lot of players at a very similar level. With what Quivin Kelleher is doing in goal and the way Evan Ferguson played up front, are they starting to emerge as two players who can be guaranteed starters who are at a higher level?
Yeah, always when you play good, you cement your plays in the coach's mind, and we're both lucky and had a good keeper this game. Quivin, of course, is playing really well at this stage in his career. He's not conceding goals in his club, and I hope he's going to bring that to Ireland as well.
And what about Evan Ferguson's performance in the first half in particular?
Yeah, good. Used the ball well when he had it. Smart passes. He's just a clever player. I think everybody sees that his fitness level is improving. He's getting more minutes at his club, so happy for him. And we know when he gets fully fit, you know, he will just start to score goals. It's just natural for some players. They always score goals.
I heard you say in one of your post-match interviews you thought maybe the press was almost too aggressive at times. Why do you think that was? Was that almost a response to previous games where we might have started slowly, that they were almost too keen to make an impression?
Yeah, we were unhappy with both the first half in Finland and in Greece. And then second half, we played really well. It was like when we had nothing to lose, we started playing on our front foot. So everybody probably wanted to be aggressive from beginning, and it kind of resulted in over-ambitious at times, pressing, breaking out from the team, pressing and jumping from out of shape. So we opened the team a little bit at times, and Finland has an experienced team. They played a lot of games together. The coach is a really good experienced coach, having this team for a long time. So once we give them options, they will take them. It's a mature team. So no, that was what I felt, especially defending. We were maybe too, well, over ambitious at times, instead of being a little bit more tactical, waiting for our moments to press. And it resulted in that they played in between our shape and found spaces. And at the same time, on the ball as well, once we did it well, we looked really good when we moved the ball quickly from flank to flank. Both Festi and Mikey Johnson did a really good job. 1v1, delivered a lot of crosses. And then we got a lot of set plays, corners, free kicks that we didn't use well enough. But winning, we got a lot of good attacking moments. And we also, when we needed, we played a good defensive shape, but it was a little bit Jekyll and Hyde performance. But overall, I think mostly happy with the energy for 90 minutes now. It was not like first half, second half was not a big difference, but we need to be a little bit smarter in the basics.
Eyebrows were raised when Lee Carsley's team sheet was published in Athens last night. Harry Kane was left on the bench for the game away to Greece, but any fears his exclusion would result in a lack of goals were allayed when Ollie Watkins found the net after just 7 minutes. The second goal was an own goal. Greek goalkeeper Odysseas Vlachodimos found the net there. And a cheeky flick from Liverpool's Curtis Jones made it 3-0, and they welcome Ireland to Wembley on Sunday at tea time. Interim boss Carsley says Kane took his benching in a stride.
No, he was absolutely fine. I think, you know, it'd be fair to say he wants to play every game, like all top players do. I think he understands that it's important that other players experience that kind of experience that we had tonight. I think... you know, he's a great example to the rest of the players, and you know, I expect him to start on Sunday and play well.
Carsley also doesn't agree with the suggestion that last night's team selection was a gamble on his behalf.
You know, I've got faith in younger players, but I've got faith in the older ones as well. I thought when you seen the team, you may have thought that was a bit of a gamble or you know, a risk, but I've got real confidence and belief in these players. You know, I've seen evidence of it. It's been backed up. The fact now that they've done it in England shirt is a real challenge from now to continue doing that. I think, you know, we talk about the performance at Wembley. You know, we tried something there that didn't quite come off. And then after the result, then we decided that it's not worked. But you know, tonight was very similar in terms of a lot of players playing. That didn't have that experience of playing for England, but I think the fact that now they've got that underneath their belts, that they've come to a place like Greece and won and dominated a game and with control, will put us in good stead for the future.
An investigation's been launched after reports England fans were tear-gassed at the game. Around 3,000 supporters had tickets for the match in Athens, but many weren't inside the stadium by kick-off. The English FA is looking into the claims. Meanwhile, despite a paltry crowd at the Stade de France, the Ligue 1 meeting of France and Israel was marred by crowd troubles. Videos shared on social media appear to show some of the 100 Israel supporters in attendance attacking French fans. 4,000 police officers were on duty despite the scant crowd, which left the Stade de France less than a quarter full. The game itself finished nil-all, enough for France to book a place in the quarterfinals. Sandro Tonali's goal in the first half in Brussels gave Italy a 1-0 win over Belgium. The Azzurri will also return for a quarter-final. Back in League B, RB Leipzig teenager Antonio Nusa scored twice in Norway's 4-1 win away to Slovenia, earning Haaland the captain in the absence of Martin Odegaard was also on target. 35 goals in 38 international games now for the Manchester City striker. Austria topped that group on goal difference courtesy of their 2-0 win away to 10-man Kazakhstan. As I mentioned earlier, the Faroes remain in contention for a promotion relegation playoff, with a first half penalty giving them a 1-0 win away to Armenia. North Macedonia guaranteed promotion to League B with a 1-0 win at home to Latvia. Tonight, Northern Ireland will look to boost their chances of promotion from League C. Michael O'Neill's side play Belarus at Windsor Park. A win would secure top spot in the group if Bulgaria also fail to win away to Luxembourg. In League A, Scotland go for their first win of this season's Nations League when they host Croatia at Hampden Park. Steve Clarke's side are bottom of their group on 1 point. They've just one win from their last 16. Those games start at 7:45. Elsewhere in international football, world champions Argentina suffered a shock 2-1 loss away to Paraguay in the South American World Cup qualifiers. The Copa America holders are still top of the group. Brazil had to settle for a 1-1 draw away to Venezuela, leaving them third behind Colombia and Argentina. Steve McLaren's Jamaica were beaten 1-0 at home to USA, now managed by Mauricio Pochettino. That was in the first leg of their CONCACAF Nations League quarterfinal. The Maori Grey missed a penalty for Jamaica while teammate Mason Holgate was sent off late on in Kingston. An early goal for Ricardo Pepi proved enough to give the USA the win. Second legs in St. Louis next week. Derry City ending the season empty-handed continues to produce huge aftershocks. The Candy Stripes confirmed this morning that manager Rory Higgins has been released from the remainder of his contract by mutual consent. He still had a year left on his contract. The 40-year-old took over from Declan Devine in April of 2021 and led them to FAI Cup success the following year. Derry were league runners-up in 2022 and 23, but dropped out of the European places this year after a disappointing end to the season. Then after last week's FAI Cup final to Drogheda, Higgins had stated his desire to stay and fight for his job. In a statement, Higgins this morning wrote, "I'm proud of all we've achieved together, but I cannot deny that 2024 has been disappointing considering we were hoping to complete a domestic double and ultimately fell short." The search to find his successor begins straight away. Higgins' departure continues a turbulent week on Foyleside. Colm Whelan has left for Bohemians. This morning, Patrick McElhenney brought his second spell to Derry to a close. The 32-year-old has joined Ballymena United. His brother Shane has reunited with Declan Devine at Glentoran. Former Derry player Gareth McGlynn told this week's LOI pod that the role of manager is just one area that needs attention at the club.
"I think there's a bigger picture for the board overall, because to me, they do not have the infrastructure behind the manager. And whether it's Rory Higgins or another manager coming in, it doesn't matter. They have got to get their back office in order. They haven't got a director of academy. They don't have a general manager. They don't have commercial, marketing, community liaison officers, commercial partnership managers. It's there's a lot of work to be done. And I think, and this is just generically, and I said this in a piece this week, if Derry City are happy to win in the league every 20 plus years, then they continue with this, the structure that's in place, because that's what's going to deliver. It's going to be up and down, mid-table, and you will get a generation of players like they did in 97, or if they're just going to sit back and wait for another Jim McLaughlin to come along and win them a league or a treble. Then that's the structure that they take. But if they're serious and they want to replicate what Bowes, Shells and Shamrock Rovers are doing, which is setting up an infrastructure and a base for when a manager comes in to do real good work and only concentrate on that work and do his job, then they need to look off the pitch. And I think, in fairness, the rumblings out of the club, that's what they're looking at, because the people in there are doing incredible work. The people are full-time, part-time and volunteers, but they need support because there's a lot of good things happening, but we just need more of it."
And you can hear more from Gareth on this week's LOI pod by becoming an Off the Ball member. Bohemians appear to have learned lessons from last year's haphazard transfer dealings. They followed the signing of striker Colm Whelan from Derry with the capture of Sligo Rovers captain Niall Moran. The defensive midfielder played all bar one of Sligo's Premier Division games this season. Bohs boss Alan Reynolds has described Moran's signing to a multi-year deal as a big coup. Sligo have tied down winger Will Fitzgerald to a new two-year deal following a season in which he provided 5 league assists and 2 goals. Waterford also continue to do some business, having trained with parent club Fleetwood in recent weeks. James Oleyink has become the Blues' second signing of the week after Andy Boyle. The 24-year-old midfielder is a product of Arsenal's youth system, but he was without a club after his release by Cheltenham in the summer. Manchester United's cost-cutting measures continue to create controversy. Despite investment from one of Britain's richest men in Jim Ratcliffe, United are considering halving their £40,000 a year payment to the Manchester United Disabled Supporters Association. United recorded revenues in excess of £650 million in June. They've already imposed 250 staff redundancies at the club. And São Paulo became the first major football club to announce their departure from Twitter. A club statement said Elon Musk has converted X into a hate machine, and the decision comes with the backdrop of a German election on the horizon early next year.
You've worked hard to build your brand, so why settle for one-size-all-fits branded clothing? Lands' End Outfitters creates apparel your employees will truly want to wear that unites your team in comfort and style. It's clothing that bolsters your brand identity and creates a unique connection between your brand, your employees, and your customers. It's why Lands' End Outfitters has been a supplier of branded apparel to some of the world's most respected brands for more than 30 years. From logo polos to fully customized branded wardrobes, our world-class outfitters will partner with you to help your team feel confident on the job and put your brand into action. From logo application to online ordering, Lands' End Outfitters offers seamless solutions that give you peace of mind, all backed by above and beyond expertise. See why Lands' End Outfitters should be your branded apparel partner. Go to business.landsend.com/pod20 and use code POD20 for 20% off your first product. That's business.landsend.com/pod20. Code POD20 for 20% off your first product.